Good morning, and welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes, and today I am joined by Connor.
Hey, Joey.
Connor, I gotta tell you something. This year has been off to a very interesting start for me. I don't know
if I can cut you off, I thought you were going to start off the show by wishing me a happy birthday, considering it is my birthday.
Birthday when this is airing. It's going to confuse people.
Oh.
They're going to think your birthday is a couple days from now.
Oh, that's true. How could I forget? Okay, yeah, go on with what you were going to start with.
Phew, dodged a bullet there. So all I was going to say, Connor, is that on January 1st, is when I watched The Holdovers, right? And I think I joked in our last episode about how, like, oh, I'm going to watch a movie every day this year now because I'm on pace, right? I'm on pace to watch a movie every day because I watched a movie on January 1st. As of recording this episode, I have not watched a movie any day this year. So I'm at 7 for 7 as we're recording this.
So I'm wondering how far I can go. You'll get to 366 and 366, you know?
Yeah, we're getting there, you know?
What you need to do to, like, make sure that you keep yourself in good shape is watch it, like, give yourself, like, a double feature, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I was going to try to do this for real and actually watch 366 movies in 366 days.
Which is
a stupid idea. But if I was going to do it for real, I would have to allow myself to be able to watch more than one movie in a day. Because there's just going to be some days where it's not possible to watch a movie. You know, like, there's nothing I can do about that. Mm. But, you know, we'll see. So far, so good. I really don't have too much going on this month. So it kind of feels like a good time to at least start watching some movies and getting my backlog filled a little bit. And I've watched some very interesting stuff. Including the movie that we're going to talk about today, which is actually a movie that's playing in theaters right now. But before we talk about that, another thing that's currently happening as we are recording this episode is the Golden Globes are on. And I had no idea that this was today until I got back home from the movies and just happened to see that it was on. So, you know, I popped it on. But, you know, what's going on in the Golden Globes, Connor? How are we feeling about these wins?
So far, so good, actually. So, like, there's just some early ones. I haven't watched a single thing, but I'm seeing, like, some of the winners. And obviously, I think we talked about it not too long ago. The Golden Globes kind of breaks up the categories somewhat weirdly. Like, director in a... Or not director, but, like, they break up, like, musical or comedy, and then drama are separate categories.
Right.
So it kind of makes things weird sometimes, but... Just looking at some of the nominees. So director of a motion picture, there's an award for that. And Christopher Nolan won that for Oppenheimer. That's good.
That's good. Yeah, sure. I'm down.
And then I'm looking on, I see for foreign language film, I talked up this year Anatomy of a Fall as one of my favorite movies of the year. And that won. And Anatomy of a Fall also won for screenplay of a motion picture, which is pretty cool. Beating out movies like Killers of the Flower Moon, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things. Like, those are all the other nominees. So, I mean, very in line with what I like. What I talked last week when we talked about The Holdovers, Davine Joy Randolph won for Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture in The Holdovers. She was great. Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer.
Okay.
I bet you he must love the fact that he's able to be in real movies again. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer won Best Actor in a drama motion picture.
I did see that. I actually saw that award live. It was the first one that I saw as it came in.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. That's a very deserving performance, for sure. I saw Bradley Cooper looked like he was stewing. I don't know if Bradley Cooper was going to win anything,
it was going to be in the Golden Globes, just because they loved him. Like, he probably thought he was, like, a shoo-in for this one, too.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm projecting or if I just want to see something that I'm not seeing, but, like, behind that smile, I feel like I saw, like, you know... It's like that Simpsons bit where Bart's like, if you pause here, you can see the moment his soul leaves his body, or this moment his heart breaks. It's like, I feel like you could do that with this one, with poor Bradley. Yeah. He tried so hard. I am not going to say that I'm not going to see Maestro. I actually might watch Maestro, because I want to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one, because so many people are you know, on the anti-Bradley Cooper train right now, just for the fact that he wanted to make a movie to get himself an Oscar. And who wouldn't do that? Why wouldn't you make a movie to get yourself an Oscar if you had the opportunity?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, have nothing but respect.
Yeah, yeah. Original score, Oppenheimer.
That was another good one. Yeah, I was...
Ludwig Göransson, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's done other things with Christopher Nolan, and he's great.
Yeah, he's a great score. I mean, there was a lot of really good nominees in that category, I noticed, but even Joe Hisaishi was nominated for Boy in the Heron, which I thought was really cool. But,
one that I kind of thought that could go the direction is Robbie Robertson for Killers of the Flower Moon. He passed away. He went posthumously, sure, yeah. But I thought that could be a potential. But you brought up the Boy in the Heron, and that won Best Animated Feature Film, which I think
is great.
Is pretty cool, yeah. That, you know, up against, you know, Super Mario Bros. Movie, Elemental, Wish, you know, Suzumi, that's a Spider-Man animated movie, Across the Spider-Verse movie. So that's great. I actually saw The Boy and the Heron a second time this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
oh,
I did.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah. I saw it in English this time, and it's...
what do you think of the dub? Was it good?
Great. Yeah, I really liked it. I actually think... that the, from what I remember of the sub compared to what I've listened to for the dub, I think the dub is a little closer to what's actually going on. Like, I think it actually gives you a little more context. Just from,
as in like what the characters are saying.
Yes.
Is different from the text that comes up in the sub. Is what
right.
You're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think actually, it does make it a little more clear. When you're watching the dub, actually, compared to the sub, just for me, maybe that's a part that could be because I've already seen the sub before, so I had a little more understanding already going in.
Sure.
But I'll
sure,
tell you
sure,
the
sure.
context that you get from watching it a second time. It's great. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it rules. I love it. I want to see it again as soon as possible.
Yep, you absolutely should. Let's see, a bunch of other stuff that we don't really care about, a bunch of TV things, comedy special, no.
Nah.
Oh, the series that I did watch, this one, I'll bring it up, a Netflix original series, Beef. Steven Yeun and Ali Wong have both won for Best Actor and Actress.
Oh, I think I've heard of that show.
Yeah. In a miniseries or a motion picture for TV, they both won. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Good show. Mostly Korean cast, and you know the showrunner also, Ali Wong is not Korean, but that's just part of it too. So pretty cool. I thought that one was quite good, even though I'm not much of a TV fan. But that's all for now. But maybe we will get more awards as we are talking and can talk about some more.
If anything interesting happens, we can talk about it. But I think we should maybe talk about the movie that both of us saw fairly recently. This one came out a couple weeks ago, actually. But I just got around to seeing it this weekend, and I know you saw it probably like last week or fairly recently. And that is this rom-com, Anyone But You. This and you know, if you've been like on the internet at all for the past like couple of weeks, you've probably seen the advertising for this movie, because I feel like they really, really went hard on pushing this on social media and like all over the place. Like, I couldn't go anywhere without seeing ads for this movie. Is that your experience? Because I feel like I don't know, this for a movie nowadays where oftentimes I don't even know that a movie came out. This one, I feel like I was inundated with advertising for.
Yeah, I had it advertised me quite well. You know, it was around. I knew it was cool. Yeah. I knew it was playing.
Just I don't know. It's a rare thing, because we don't really get these kinds of like studio rom-coms anymore, or at least I don't know. It's not a very common style of movie in the modern era, but it was interesting to see just how much they were like, all right, this is the one, you know, that we're gonna push this one, we're gonna make bank on it, and also advertising it very, very heavily on the backs of the two stars, Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney. And I don't know that either of them are like household names, but I feel like Sydney Sweeney has gotten a lot of clout over the past couple of years from like younger people who have seen her in shows like Euphoria. I think she was in The White Lotus, like some HBO shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was one of those actresses that I feel like was kind of destined to eventually have this big moment. Which is interesting because, again, like these kinds of studio rom-coms are used to be like star-making vehicles in like the 90s and stuff, but aren't, it hasn't been that way for a very long time. So for this to be like the quote-unquote star-making vehicle for someone like Sydney Sweeney or Glenn Powell, who's been around for a while, but again, has never really had, like, as far as I'm aware, at least a major leading role that has broken out into like mainstream knowledge. The fact that this rom-com is doing that again is kind of neat, right?
I would say these are two big up-and-comers that this is like the old, you're exactly what you're saying, like the old model of like you put two of the biggest stars, like, you know, super attractive people together and you get people to come to the theater just to see that. And you do a bunch of advertising for it and you see what happens. You do some silly gags on it in the trailers and you bring people out and see what happens.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It's definitely an old school kind of thing. And I think the movie's been doing pretty well. I mean, my theater is pretty packed and that's, you know, a couple weeks in. So, it's kind of nice. But that's, of course, not talking about the movie itself, which, you know, we can get into that too. So, Connor, you got the synopsis up for Anyone But You?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Anyone But You... clocking in at an hour and 43 minutes. After an amazing first date, Bea and Ben's fiery attraction turns ice cold until they find themselves unexpectedly reunited at a destination wedding in Australia. You know, because they could, you got to, another trademark of these kind of rom-com movies or silly movies like this is it's also a vacation for the stars.
Well, sure.
And then the rest of it is, so they do whatever the two mature adults would do, pretend to be a couple. So the whole idea, Anyone But You, they don't like each other, but they have all sorts of things that are going on in the situation of this wedding, since both their friend groups know and families kind of know each other. They don't realize mm-hmm. that they both know each other, though. And mm-hmm. there's a push on both of their sides that a former... past love interest are at this wedding also. So the idea mm-hmm. being that they're just going to pretend that they're a couple so that they can't get bothered by their family and friends and all of these other former, you know, past relationships that they've had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're going to fake mm-hmm. it, really, even though they don't mm-hmm. like each other. But do they really mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. like each other, Joey? I don't know.
Well, that's, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Joey, what did you think of this one? I think I might have pushed you into this one, but
well, I kind of wanted to see it anyway, just for the aforementioned reason that it's, you know, kind of a throwback to you know, an older model that I don't think that, I mean, neither of us were old enough to be around when that was actually a way that you sold movies on rom-coms, but it obviously I've seen a lot of rom-coms from like the golden era of rom-coms. I actually took a class on romantic comedy here at UD with Professor Leach. It was like the first class I took with him.
Romantic comedies are actually pretty great.
It at one point was a very dominant and important genre in American movies. I feel like it's gotten to a point now where it's almost like a quaint thing, whereas before it was all about like those were some of the biggest box office hits. Like those were huge, huge movies. So this one I was like, well, you know, it's kind of something like that. So I'll see it. I'll give it a shot. It's kind of a real movie. I think the if you were to watch like any rom-com from the real era of rom-coms, like you watch When Harry Met Sally, or you know, you watch even like, so one of those like Julia Roberts movies, I always say this is maybe my best friend's wedding, which is very entertaining, that we watched in class. I remember that. Or like Moonstruck or like a movie like that. Like any like real romantic comedy. Like so it's night talking, and day.
You know? I mean, you're talking like, about some of like the all timers, but
yeah, like, I know I'm talking about some of like the all time greats.
Even
sure.
like I get that. What Women Want or so, or things like that. Like there's like lots of
yeah,
like
Nancy Meyers movie. Yeah, sure. Like if you watch any of those, though, I'm saying you will feel like you watched more of a real movie than you watch with anyone but you, which feels like a movie that is a pale imitation of those real movies. But a pale imitation can still be a decent enough time. There's still some good stuff in here. I like both of the leads. I've seen some people say they don't like Sydney Sweeney's performance in this, and I don't blame her for that. I think that they give her some really clunky lines at some point that I don't know that anybody could really pull off that well, but I think she's charming generally. Glenn Powell's great. I think he's really funny in the movie. He's just a good actor. I like him and everything I see in
it. I think, I would agree with you too. Like I think that Glenn Powell has superstar potential, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's awesome.
He's just great. I mean, he got his big, you know, the things that have gotten him huge like recently are like Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Richard Linklater movie that he was in.
He was in Everybody Wants Some.
Everybody Wants Some. And then he's in another one called Hitman that's going to come out at some point, which is supposed to be great. Netflix has it. I don't know when that's going to come out. It's going to come out sometime this year, I imagine. But I think he's about to become huge. He was also in another movie called Devotion, which, you know, probably no one will ever watch again because that's a Jonathan Majors-led movie.
Yikes!
That one might not get seen again. But he's great. He has this charisma, and this is the his performance in this movie is the exact kind of role, like performance that you want in a role like this, which is just totally over the top, going for it, like totally hamming it up, like playing to the cheap seats, like it's great. You're cracking up at everything he's going for in this. And I do think the performance that Sydney Sweeney gives is as good as possible for the character. Her character is a little more nuanced than his, I think, in like just what they were trying to go for.
Because what they were trying to go for, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I don't feel like, I mean, my biggest problem with this movie, and like I am not a person that generally cares that much about plausibility when I'm watching a movie. It's because sometimes I think that when you get into like, is this plausible? Would this really happen? Et cetera, et cetera. I feel like if you get too bogged down in that, you're just like kind of like being nitpicky or just like trying not to have a good time. But this movie is like, I don't think I've ever seen a more like ridiculous example of a movie where there is just no good reason for anything that happens. the whole premise at the beginning is that they have this like first date that's really, really great. And then Sydney Sweeney, after they like fall asleep on the couch together, she just kind of like leaves in the morning for no reason. And like he like wakes up and notices that she leaves. But then she calls her friend on the phone and is like, "Wow, I just had this amazing day. I left." And then her friend's like, "Why'd you leave?" And she's like, "I don't know. I'm going to go back now." And of course, she goes back. And by the time she gets back, Glenn Powell's character, Ben, he's having a conversation with one of his friends. And of course, he's mad that she left. So he says all these mean things about her, and then she overhears it. And then that's why they hate each other. But like, literally the reason that she left is that she had no reason to leave. It's so contrived. But then like later in the movie, they try to give us some like deep-seated character reason for why she felt like she had to leave, and it just doesn't work at all. Like it just feels like so many things in this movie that are like the most basic misunderstandings or like completely barely motivated reasons for anything to happen. That the movie is just straining to get us to all the necessary rom-com beats where like the meet cute and then they don't like each other and they start to like each other a little bit, but then they have to not like each other again. So something has to happen to make them like kind of grow distant a little bit before the big ending moment where they come together again. And all of those things, getting to all of those parts, every single one of them feels off. Like it wasn't earned. Like they didn't really get there with like, Like, again, comparing it to something like When Harry Met Sally is so unfair because that's like the best rom-com ever made. But if you watch a movie like that, that's an example where everything that happens is perfectly motivated and feels amazing. And it's like the catharsis of the ending is so earned and beautiful. Whereas this is just kind of like, it wants to get to all those things, but it doesn't really care how it gets there, or the ways that it gets there are just really, really contrived. So like, that's why I feel like this is not really able to be it's not a classic in any sense. It's very disposable.
Certainly.
And that's like, I think the disappointing thing, because even some of the rom-coms from the golden era that aren't like the classics, like When Harry Met Sally, they still have like, I feel like more interesting things going on than what happens here. Like, this is very PG-13 sanitized, kind of dull. I mean, it's probably rated R because there's some like R-rated stuff in it, but like not in the sense that like there's any subversive element. Like, it never really gets mean or interesting. It's like all of the things that are making these characters not like each other are so like tepid, and like there's no good reason for them not to like each other, really. It's all just like the littlest things that are just like barely off that a simple conversation would fix in like 2 seconds.
Part of me wondered, like, during the movie, is if you do you think you could start something like this without explaining the backstory first?
You mean like not showing their initial first date that went well or something,
right? And like, maybe you do it in like flashback or something, or if you had to, or like, I agree with you, because it kind of puts it in like this is just a slight misunderstanding. especially like one of those things that could easily get cleared up by the fact that their friend groups kind of know each other, you know, like,
right? Yeah,
something like very easy to to figure out. Like, in their first interaction again, they kind of their friend groups are separately talking about them both and how they both know, both friend groups know of the other person and their relationship and what happened. I think you're right that it could have very easily been figured out, but then the movie doesn't happen, I guess,
the things that make the movie happen are just very contrived.
Yes.
And I feel like you need to have a little bit more than that. And I think that it could have benefited from being a little bit I don't know if meaner is the right word, but I want there to be like a genuine reason for these characters to like have some problems that the movie actually has to work to solve, and not just like, you know, have them have that conversation, that super obvious conversation to clear everything up that could be cleared up in a second. Like, actually make this something that has to build in some capacity, you know?
Right.
And that's what I think is like great about the real rom-coms of like the 90s and 80s and stuff, where like I just feel like the characters are a lot more interesting. What's going on here is just like very, very, very surface level stuff. But you know, at the end of the day, it's fine. Like I don't hate it or anything.
You laughed at some of this. Come on. Like,
there's funny parts. The cornball some funny stuff. Parts.
Like there, yeah. And the two leads are so great playing off each other. Like they're great. Like it works wonderfully. And so the message is like to not make these movies, like, cause they work. Keep trying. I like, this is the first one of these that I've seen in theaters that's gotten like any, like, you know, kind of media attention or like advertising or anything in forever, you know?
Oh yeah. No, completely. 100%. I just want to see some with a little bit more teeth, you know, not something that's so kind of just sanitized and just a happy good time for the most part, with where the emotional beats are just kind of, you know, not really earned and not really that great. But you know, I don't want to complain too much, because generally speaking, I had a good enough time. The other thing that we haven't mentioned, and this is unfortunately like me exposing myself as a very fraudulent English major, is that this is based on Much Ado About Nothing,
the Shakespeare
play.
Yeah, right.
And I have not seen it or read Much Ado About Nothing, which, you know, I'm not familiar with it at all, really, which again is to my great shame as an English major, a former English major at least. So I can't really speak too well to how great of an adaptation it is, but there are a lot of parts in this where they quote Shakespeare, or like, if you remember in the end credits, you can see the words Much Ado About Nothing above like a screen in like a football stadium or something. I don't know where they were at. They were in some kind of sports stadium. But like, I know that it is on some level a loose adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing. So I'm curious, like, how much of the plot of this is like kind of straining to be an adaptation of that, and how much of it is changed for either better or worse, you know? Like, because I mean, we're talking about Shakespeare here, so whatever Shakespeare did is obviously going to be amazing. So like, I'm sure that there's things in this translation that either work or don't work in updating the time period, updating the setting, and updating just, you know, the story in general. I'm very curious how it compares, but of course I don't have the requisite Shakespeare knowledge to say that. I would love to hear from a Shakespeare expert.
Yeah, I agree. So if you're a Shakespeare expert, email us at lopesonmovies@gmail.com and let us know.
Is that actually our email address? Do we have that email address?
Yeah, we do.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, that's so yeah, do that if you're a Shakespeare expert. Tell us how good of an adaptation this is of Much Ado About Nothing.
And okay,
sure.
Do you want now that we've talked about this movie quite a bit, you want some more Golden Globe updates?
Well, give me one Golden Globe update because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, good point. Okay, so cinematic and box office achievement.
That award.
This amazing award, it went to Barbie.
See, that's the thing that makes me so like confused about why that even exists, because like Barbie's going to win a bunch of other stuff anyway because it is, you know, a real movie. So like, why did we need to have this fake movie award category for things that made a lot of money? When like, I think the reason that they have that award is because they're trying to get like some of the more popular movies that were in theaters recognition. So that's why you get something like Guardians of the Galaxy or John Wick Chapter 4 or, you know, like, whatever else was in that category. But like the two biggest box office achievements of this year were Barbie and Oppenheimer, both of which are going to win other awards. So it just feels like it's redundant. Like, I don't know, like Barbie winning that award is like, it's going to win plenty of other things as well. I don't know if that award is really saying much of anything.
I don't know about plenty of other things, but most awards so far is Oppenheimer. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. We love Oppenheimer. It was a great movie. All right. Well, I think that's all I got today. Connor, you got any closing thoughts on Anyone But You or anything else?
I would recommend this to most people. I think this is a great date movie. I don't think those really exist anymore. I think that everyone could enjoy this.
Oh, for
this
sure.
One, you know, you're not very easy watch. You'll get some nice laughs. You know, definitely, it's not the kind of thing that requires overly. You're not. It's just a nice passive watch that you'll enjoy. You'll get some laughs, and then, you know, you'll go home and be and you kind of be happy. You know,
it's a good Sunday afternoon kind of movie for sure. Well, all right, everybody, we will see you next week with more new movie reviews. So you have a great rest of your morning.